Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Katie Lambert.
And I'm Sarah Dowdy.
And we've talked about Queen Elizabeth I in a couple of podcasts, so you know that her reputation was that of the Virgin Queen, and it's a reputation she worked very hard to maintain all throughout her life, and it's one that served her well.
Yeah, she was a game player. She encouraged suits from all sorts of princes and fellow Englishmen and deflected them adeptly.
She never married, but she did have one great love, and his name was Robert Dudley. And to give a little background on Robert, they'd been friends since they were children. He said later in life, "I have known her better than any man alive since she was 8 years old.
And to sort of build up the myth that they shared, they both spent time in the Tower together. It's unlikely that they ever saw each other there. Elizabeth was kept under very tight security, and Robert was actually married at the time. But it plays into the romantic myth.
Of course, they're both doomed, they're both imprisoned, and yet they find love quite close to home. But again, it never happened. But you can understand why someone might be attracted to Robert. He was 6 feet tall, very attractive, dark-skinned. Some called him the gypsy.
Which I really love, because Elizabeth, of course, is the rose.
Exactly. Gypsy Rose. Sarah thought this was a really funny joke earlier. He has red-brown hair and a mustache. He's very active. He danced and sang, was a wonderful conversationalist. He was very well-educated.
But he's also from a rather traitorous family. He's the son of Northumberland, who is involved in treason. So he doesn't have the best pedigree when it comes to being loyal to the monarch.
And he is, of course, of too common birth to be considered an appropriate suitor for a queen, so that's something we'll keep in mind. But he was married to someone else, a woman named Amy, and it was a love match and a very happy marriage, at least at first.
So that's Robert and Elizabeth's personal history, but he makes his public entrance into her life when she appoints him Master of the Horse the day after she ascends to the throne. And if you don't know what that job is, it's pretty important. It's to purchase, breed, train, and maintain the queen and the court's horses. And for somebody like Elizabeth, who goes on a grand progress every year, that's a big deal.
He also had to organize state processions and entertainment like tournaments and banquets, so there's a bit of an event planner.
And he's good at it.
Yes, he's very good at it. So in time, Robert becomes more important to the queen. She's asking him about state affairs, and he's influencing her in her dealings with the clergy. Most days together, they're riding and hunting. And she didn't try to keep any of this secret. She was really open about how much she admired him and how great of a guy she thought he was. She praised him publicly. She would dance with him at balls. None of this was shady.
Yeah, and this is, Elizabeth is trying to make it so open so that people won't talk about it, so there's nothing suspicious. And we have to remember from our early life of Elizabeth podcast, she's involved in a shady relationship with a married man in her teens, and it almost ruins her. It almost gets her killed. It almost drops her from the line of succession. So she's not going to make mistakes like that anymore.
But gossip, of course, simply happens. And as the queen was in Robert's chamber day and night, people started saying that she was only waiting for his wife to die so she could marry him. And also remember that everyone wanted Elizabeth to get married. It was inconceivable that she would stay single. She, however, didn't want to for a lot of possible reasons, which we talked more about in her early life podcast, but some of them were just not wanting to give up to her power because, of course, a husband was considered sovereign over his wife, and Elizabeth really enjoyed being who she was.
Well, and she associated marriage with death, and she was probably quite frightened of childbirth, as a Tudor woman would be. It's no surprise. So many women died in childbirth at the time.
But despite all of this gossip, because of court etiquette, it's not like Elizabeth ever would have really been alone with Robert. There's no evidence of a sexual relationship between them, and again, at the time, there wasn't a good, reliable method of contraception, so it's very likely if she were having sex with him, we would have very physical evidence to show for it.
But Robert continues to raise eyebrows, and Elizabeth really helps this when she bestows on him the Order of the Garter, which is far beyond his qualifications.
And he also gets, you know, a mansion in Kew, he gets land, he gets money, and he's still acting in a somewhat political role, despite the fact that that's not his job, and giving her advice. She keeps him in line. She makes it very clear that she is the boss and he is her underling. But nonetheless, people are suspicious of him and his influence, because who knows how far it ranges and who knows just how ambitious he is.
Well, and on a personal level, it really does seem like true love. If you look at their letters, you can see the regard they have for each other, and she addresses him as her bonnie sweet Robin.
And of course, the benefit for her is that he's already married, but his wife, Amy, is in the country, so she can have all the fun she wants without all the marriage stuff that she is so afraid of.
Yeah, and entertain the ambassadors who are pressing the suit of their foreign princes without having a legitimate guy on the side who might be a suitor himself.
Exactly. So they're using each other a little bit, and Robert continues to ascend. He's doing very well for himself. He does get Knight of the Garter and eventually attains the completely uncoveted role of one of the most hated men in England. And I was saying to Sarah earlier, it's so funny to see a guy as the hated favorite instead of, say, somebody like Madame Pompadour in the French kings. It's really interesting.
Soul reversal.
He's resented, he's feared, he's distrusted, and his personal characteristics don't really help this image of him, because he is kind of snobbish and very ambitious.
Well, and he makes himself the gateway to the queen. If you want to see her, first you have to go through Dudley, and it's not easy. And he even tries to sabotage some marriage arrangements for her, you know, saying it wasn't a good idea for England, or the suitor himself isn't a good man, and just befuddling everything.
But he clearly is, again, her favorite, and her old governess, who is the one who helped extricate her from that first
inappropriate relationship,
begs her to stop this, what's going on with Robert, and to please get married and produce an heir for England. But Elizabeth, and this is a poignant moment, says that she has so little joy in her life aside from him, and so much sorrow. So he's, you know, her one special thing she has to herself in this life of governing England.
But the gossip goes beyond just sort of court disapproval. And the stuff that the town people are saying can get pretty nasty. It's rumored that she goes on Progress every year to give birth to Robert's child, and she's got about 5 by now or something.
She sounds a bit difficult.
And she sternly punishes the people who are talking about her like that.
But again, she's not shy about how she feels about him. At one point, they're staying at Whitehall, and Robert said his rooms were damp, so the Queen gave him a suite next to her. She's flaunting it. She's not behaving herself in a modest sort of way because she thinks, you know, she's the monarch, and who are they to question what she's doing? Because she knows she's not doing anything, quote, unseemly, so no one should be questioning her when she's, you know, acting perfectly innocently with her court favorite. There's talk of Robert, though, trying to poison his wife or get his marriage dissolved so he can marry the Queen. And this is when his wife comes back into the story.
So Elizabeth doesn't like Amy Dudley, and Robert only has the one house at Kew, and Elizabeth likes to go and visit him there. So Amy isn't allowed to be in her own house. She's shuttled around between friends and family. And Robert and Amy don't see each other very much. He tries to make it up to her by sending her gifts all the time, but she's a sad, lonely lady.
And by September 1560, we do have evidence from contemporary accounts that she was very depressed. We don't know if that's because she was ill. There were a lot of rumors at the time that she had a malady in her breast, or if it was because her unhappy marriage and her husband's relationship with the Queen. But on September 8th, 1560, Amy, unusually, sends all of her servants away to a religious fair, and some of them objected because it was a Sunday and they didn't think it was appropriate, but she forces them to go, and she's angry when one of them decides to stay with her. And when they come back from the fair, they find the body of Amy Dudley at the foot of a shallow set of stone stairs with a broken neck.
So this obviously changes the game a lot between Elizabeth and Dudley.
And when they're both told, Elizabeth is completely shocked, speechless, and Dudley seems confused. He asks for an inquiry into her death, which, of course, they needed. And Elizabeth goes into her mode of propriety, and she makes the news public. She says publicly that it was an accident and sets up an inquest. And then she sends him away, knowing that it looks bad that he's with her. He needs to stay away until she hears from the coroner.
So Dudley thinks Amy has been murdered, and he doesn't seem too sad about it, but he desperately wants to clear his name. Some people, on the other hand, are thinking that it was suicide because Amy was so upset, either over potential illness or because of Dudley and Elizabeth. But because suicide is a mortal sin, they're keeping that to themselves for the most part.
And the coroner's verdict is accidental death, but Dudley, again, is convinced that it's murder, and he wants another verdict. He has to clear his name. But Elizabeth says that one is enough, and Dudley's invited back to court, and Elizabeth orders the court to mourn for a month. But people still
think he's guilty. Yeah.
And they continue to think he's guilty for pretty much the rest of his life. In the 1900s, her coffin was exhumed, but there was only dust in it.
It's the theme to all of our podcasts, exhuming the body.
The only thing Amy Dudley and Meriwether Lewis possibly have in common. A modern suggestion is perhaps that, in some cases of breast cancer, it can weaken your bones, and a little fall like that could do something as serious as break your neck. But it's also possible that it was murder, and we have one main suspect.
Yeah, the only person who would actually benefit from the death of Amy Dudley was William Cecil, who's Elizabeth's chief advisor, who hates Dudley and doesn't want to see him anywhere near the Queen.
And with the taint of this mysterious death on him, it's absolutely impossible for Elizabeth to marry Dudley now. Even if she'd wanted to before, the people would revolt. She needs to get rid of him. Everyone's up in arms that she's in a relationship with a possible murderer. The foreign courts of Europe are completely appalled, and so she has to put head over heart.
So when it comes time for the public ceremony to raise Dudley to the peerage, she cuts up the papers and referenced his traitorous family all in front of him.
So that is just a slap in the face.
Yeah, if raising him to Master of the Horse was the public declaration of their friendship, their close friendship, this is the public declaration of Elizabeth's disapproval.
So Dudley's a bit out in the cold, and for some reason, his tactic is to try to get in good with King Philip. He wants him on his side to help make his suit to Elizabeth and tells Philip that he'll help restore Catholicism to England if Philip helps him, which, of course, is not going to happen. And Cecil thwarts his efforts in any way possible, as he will continue to do for the rest of his life.
And Dudley is still hoping that the Queen will marry him, but she's playing with him, giving him a nice apartment next to hers one minute, and then making a joke about how he's just her little dog the next. Very humiliating.
He's not doing too badly as far as, say, pensions and privileges are going, but he can't have what he wants, which is marriage to Elizabeth, partly for love and partly for ambition.
Yeah. She does eventually raise him to the peerage, though, after that humiliating incident. And this time she tickles his neck when she does it.
She's such a flirt. She cracks me up. So he becomes the Earl of Leicester, and he's one of the four most powerful men in England, along with Norfolk, Sussex, and William Cecil.
And now that he is one of the most powerful men in England and not kind of low of birth, he does have some supporters. People are really worried that Elizabeth hasn't decided on the succession yet. And she's middle-aged by this point, at least by Renaissance standards. And they want her to marry somebody and have an heir.
So the game playing continues, and Dudley fears that she had made up her mind to wed some great prince, he tells someone else. So he raises the stakes, and he starts up a flirtation with Lettice Devereux, the Countess of Essex, who's a cousin of Elizabeth's.
And she's very beautiful, too.
Right. And the motive, supposedly, is to make Elizabeth jealous and see if she really wants to marry him. This backfires spectacularly. Elizabeth begins to give her attention to another young man at court, and they have a giant fight. Elizabeth yells at Robert, "I have wished you well, but my favor is not so locked up for you that others shall not participate thereof," which is a line I plan to remember. But they reconcile, both of them in tears, which is characteristic of their very passionate relationship. But you can't sustain
this kind of
that level of passion.
Passion can't be sustained. Yeah, these huge fights and then these dramatic makeups. They can't keep on doing this.
And in a sense, for the two of them, this part of their relationship is when things change. Dudley is tired of the court. He's tired of all the little scandals and the political intrigues. And he's completely exhausted by Elizabeth's games, as anyone would be, I think. And it's beginning to become clear to him that she will never marry him. He hasn't accepted it yet, but he's got, you know, a little inkling.
Well, he's tired of being blamed, too, for being the one who makes all her marriage arrangements fall through. She uses him for that, but he's tired of being her scapegoat.
She likes to do things like banish him from court and then send him a letter saying he should never leave her side, and then he comes back, and after a while she throws him out again and invites him back. It's tiring just to read about, much less to be part of. My favorite detail is at one point Cecil is comparing Robert to an archduke, and he makes up an actual chart of their pros and cons to show that Dudley simply isn't as good as the archduke.
We were joking. It would have mustache pro. Con wife murder?
The idea of them getting married seems more and more remote as time goes by, but those rumors never stop. It's always swirling around that maybe he'll be the one, because, again, she's really, really good at this. She's such a manipulator, and I kept thinking as I was researching this, and maybe this is something about me more than her, but don't hate the player, hate the game, because she is such a good little player. And this whole time, she's entertaining different suitors and never really has any serious intentions of accepting any of them as a husband.
So as their relationship changes, they do lose some of that passion, and they become more like an old married couple who kind of bickers at each other, and they're fond of each other. And but around 1572, he has a secret marriage to Lady Sheffield. So he's moved on to a certain extent.
And he and Lady Sheffield have a baby together after this secret marriage, and Dudley, also known as Leicester from this point on, because he is the Earl of Leicester, wanted to acknowledge him, but he couldn't, because Elizabeth thought it was a bastard and probably honestly would have flipped out if she'd known that he'd married someone else. So he calls the son the badge of his sin for the rest of his life, even though he so desperately wanted an heir. And not that his relationship with the Queen has ended. During her progress in 1575, which ended at Kenilworth, she told him that she couldn't see the formal garden from her window. So overnight, he had a completely new one set up where she could see it.
Yeah, he really plays the role of the cavalier well sometimes with Elizabeth. But that same year, he starts up again with Lettice, who is married, and knights aren't supposed to sleep with other knights' wives, so this is pretty scandalous. But eventually her husband dies, and she's pregnant by Leicester, so he marries her.
But if his marriage to Lady Sheffield was real, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest that it was, he was a bigamist. And then this baby really wouldn't be legitimate, and he really wanted that legitimate heir. Elizabeth found out about this marriage. No one's sure if he told her or if someone else told her, but she was brokenhearted and felt completely betrayed by him.
But they come to a certain arrangement of sorts, and if he'll continue to be her favorite, be her knight, and pretend nothing happened, basically turn Lettice into an Amy, that old wife who stays with her relatives and friends, then Elizabeth will pretend that nothing happened either, and it'll all be okay.
But she doesn't quite stick to that, because Elizabeth hates Lettice now, who really should have okayed her marriage with Elizabeth in the first place. But Elizabeth actually boxes her ears when Lettice shows up at court in her fancy clothes and tells her, "As but one sun lights the east, so I shall have but one queen in England." At which point, I think Leicester realizes what he's done, setting himself up between these two women. Despite this seeming accord between Leicester and the queen, she is in a perpetual bad mood, according to everyone at court. She keeps him away from his wife whenever she can, and just in general is nasty to be around.
Leicester finally gets what he wants, though, which is an heir by Lettice, a son who Robert adores, but he unfortunately dies quite young. And then Leicester himself dies, probably of stomach cancer, on September 4th, 1588, rumored to have been poisoned by Lettice, who had a lover, but who knows about that.
Elizabeth was completely devastated by his death. She locked herself in her room for days, and she took the last letter that he wrote her and labeled it last letter and put it in a little box by her bed where it stayed until the day she died.
And he left her a rope of 600 pearls. We've kind of been tracing the roots of Elizabeth's pearls in these podcasts, but among other things, and she wears these pearls in her Armada portrait.
And let us say also that Elizabeth got her revenge on Lettice. Leicester died with debts, and the queen made sure that Lettice had to auction off everything they owned to pay them, which wasn't very
cold,
nice.
Cold Elizabeth. That coolness and that ruthlessness goes along with how we usually think of Elizabeth, which is bigger than life, the virgin queen, Gloriana, always managing things just quite right. But it's interesting to look at her relationship with Robert because it is so human and it shows that human side of someone who tries to almost strip it from her public persona.
And in one way, she could have had him because he wanted her and he loved her and he would have married her. But in another, she couldn't. And not just because most of her people were against it and he wasn't suitable, but he wouldn't have been nearly as wonderful a husband as he was a companion to her. He was really ambitious, and Cecil, for one, was afraid he'd be a jealous and unkind husband. And it was funny doing the research, watching their relationship evolve, because you have all the same petty, you know, jealousies and insecurities and little fights that plague any relationship, but they're magnified to this royal scale with state importance.
Yeah. So I think that about wraps up the life of Elizabeth. We've covered it, right?
I think we're pretty much done with her for now, but be on the lookout for Mary, Queen of Scots, and Lord Darnley. And you can be looking for the Stuarts and the Tudors to be popping up in the Stuff You Missed in History blog. You can go to blogs.howstuffworks.com to look for them, or on our homepage at www.howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the Stuff You Missed in History Class blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.